Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. On Valentine's Day of this year, James Felice of Hudson Valley rock and roll mainstay The Felice Brothers released his debut solo album, The Little Ones, via Conor Oberst's Million Stars Records. The songs on the record are anything but little. Reflective distress echoes through lessons sought and found in the lyrics. Realizations bloom in the characters singing their choruses. The melodies and instrumentation push the sometimes timid narrators, all in James's voice, to keep sharing their stories until the end of the tune. It's a great album, and I am thrilled to welcome James Felice back to the Linda to talk with me today and share a few songs. Hi, James. It's great to see you.
Hi, Sarah. Thanks for having me. That was really nice. Who wrote that?
I did.
You wrote that?
I did.
That was really sweet. Wow.
I love the record. I told you the day it came out,
right.
And then you went right on tour, so we didn't get to talk about it until about now.
Yeah, I was on tour. I was in Memphis, I think, on Valentine's Day when the record came out. And yeah, that's right. We haven't been able to talk about it. Here we are.
Why was it time for a solo album?
I have been writing for years and years and years, and building skills and songs and finding, I think, a voice of mine that I didn't know existed, especially since COVID started and we all had extra time on our hands. I tried to direct some of that time, hopefully most of it, toward writings. And I just kept writing and writing and writing, and I eventually had these songs that I believed in. I thought, hey, these are actually good. I've written thousands of songs, and maybe how many songs are on the record? 11? 11 of them came out pretty good.
I think you've probably written more than 11 good songs, but I understand what you're saying.
You
felt the pride of these. What energy, what thoughts and stories did you want to tell in the songs? And how did you decide these ones were good and collect them for the album?
You know, what you said about the timidity of the voice, that, when you just said that, it actually kind of spoke to me, because that is sort of what I was looking for, was this voice of, I didn't know how to channel this feeling I had, this human feeling I have, into this voice. And I found like that timidity, that like sort of searching and exploring and how unsure I am of myself and how unsure these characters are of themselves. And there's just something about that that I needed to get out, because I just feel like like a lot of us, I just don't understand myself very well, and sometimes I feel like I don't understand other people. So this is my way of just trying to wrap my head around it a little bit.
There are a lot of questions in the songs, and it seems like, I can't think of one where this isn't true, that there's self-improvement being sought, an analysis of self and a growth that they're seeking in the songs.
Right. I love a song. I love a story.
Yes.
A song or a story. And this is, I guess, self-evident in the idea of a story that starts in one place and ends in another. And a lot of music is very circular, which is beautiful too. But I like these songs maybe have a little bit of a arc or something. There's mm-hmm. a little bit of a path where it begins in one place and ends in maybe a place you didn't expect, or I didn't expect when I was writing it. And those are the songs that really touched me when I was writing. I was like, oh, I didn't know that this song was actually going to wind up here in this emotional place. That really excited me.
I think it will be hard to put into words, and it is the kind of thing that people on this side of the microphone ask people on your side of the microphone all the time, but how do you enter a headspace of songwriting and find yourself, you know, being led by the song or the lyrics to the stories that you're finishing up and putting on an album?
I wish I knew how to do that easily. For me, it's just hours of playing the song over and over and over again, singing the wrong lyrics, mumbling, trying to find something. It's like you're just in a forest of these weeds, and you keep pulling weeds and trying different things. And every once in a while, you'll see like a little flower in there, and then this analogy breaks down immediately because I don't know where to bring it from there. But
it's
just all about playing it over and over and over again, and discovering what the song is about through attrition almost. And it's hard to get into that space. I need to spend so much time, and it feels like a waste of time, but hours of my day just like banging on the keyboard, producing nonsense before I get that little kernel. It's like that, it's 1,000 to 1. It's like maple syrup. What is it, maple syrup? 40 to 1?
Yeah, something like that.
Like.
Yeah. You are going to play live for us today at the Linda to share with listeners. You're going to try. You're going to succeed. Again, you've been playing music for 20 years?
That's right, 20 years. Professionally.
Professionally. What is the first song you want to share with us today?
I'll play the first song on the record. It's called Pickup Line. It's a little, it's a cute little ditty. It's a very, it's a song about very small people, but I love the idea that it has this like massive cosmic backdrop, which I suppose is real to our own lives.
Mm-hmm.
Here it goes. Did it hurt when you fell from heaven? Me, I broke both of my legs. From the king of the stars to drinking in this bar, and stripped of my celestial name. Given the boot that hurts, smashed through the roof that hurt too. But be not ashamed, we came a long, long way. For all of that, I think you're looking pretty good. That sucks too. But be not ashamed, we came a long, long way. For all of that, I think we're doing pretty good. Can I buy you a drink?
That's Pickup Line by James Felice from his debut solo album, The Little Ones. It's out now. It came out on Valentine's Day via Connor Oberst Million Stars Records. You have toured with and been the backing band for Connor.
Yeah.
And how did you, you know, approach him, or how does it happen that you get to put your record out on his imprint?
He approached me, you know.
Beautiful.
He scouted me out. No, we. I sent him the record. He basically invented this label. It wasn't even that long ago, maybe 2 years ago.
Who knows? Years or lies. It doesn't matter.
He got a wild hair, and he, you know, we signed our first deal, our first, I guess, U.S. deal with his first label called Team Love. This was many years ago. And then he sort of got out of the record label game. He said he was never getting back in, but then he heard a Felice Brothers record, which we put out last year. I don't even remember. Valley of Abandoned Songs.
Last
and he
year,
loved it so much.
2024.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
He's like, I'm going to start a record label because I want to put this record out. And so he did. And then I sent him this one, and he wanted to put this one out too. I don't know if he was just being polite and nice, but it's really sweet that he did. Really helped me out a lot because I don't know how to do any of that stuff.
You don't know how to put the stuff out, but you do produce. Did you mix and produce this one, or did you have help with that? I could know that, obviously, from liner notes, but here we go. I'm asking.
It's okay. I sort of co-produced it with Searcher, Jeremy Backhoffen, who's produced and engineered like most of the Felice Brothers records.
That's
over
right,
the years.
Jeremy, yeah.
And Jeremy mixed it, the whole thing, by himself, and did a really tremendous job. Yeah, a lot of the record I did in the studio in Bearsville, Utopia Studios, mm-hmm. Pete Kagan's spot, which is an awesome studio. And some of it I just did in my apartment. It was sort of a mix and match sort of thing.
When you began making music, how did you find your singing voice? You have a distinctive sounding voice. How did it come out of you? How did you find it?
that's a nice question. I still feel like I'm figuring that part out.
Okay.
I think when we first started the band, we just sang as loud as we could. At least that's what I did.
And
we
your throat
were in the subway
felt great.
And like I didn't know what we were doing. So it was just like sing as loud as you can. Try to sing in tune. that's fine if you don't, but try and just like project and get people's attention and bring them in. And I did that for years, and I learned how to sing, you know, because Ian, my brother, mostly sings leads in the band. So I like started learning how to do harmonies and stuff like that. And while I did sing some of my own songs in the band, I feel like just recently developing my voice, I mean, there's like the artistic voice, but there's actually like my literal voice. I'm still learning how to sing. I even today, for the one of the first times ever, I did vocal warm-ups in the car.
Did you?
I did. Yeah.
Just for, well, not me. I was just for you, me, Sarah, and our thousands and thousands
and the
of
thousands
listeners.
Thousands and thousands of my neighbors and friends out there in the capital region, the Hudson Valley.
What kind of warm-ups did you do in the car?
There's some like, like those and stuff.
Cool. Lip trills.
My partner Al does them.
Yes.
She's way more organized and professional than I am. And so I learned from her.
How do you know which instrument that you play each song needs?
Mostly I try to do it. I write on the piano. It's just sort of the instrument I feel most comfortable with. I've recently tried to start writing on the accordion, which is a whole different part of my brain that is not super well developed yet. But getting into that, I used to play guitar a little bit. I hardly ever pick it up anymore. I feel like there's just, I kind of missed the boat on the guitar. So yeah, everything I just sort of, I sit at the piano and I just sit and play piano for hours until something sounds good to me. And then I'll follow that to the next place. But it's almost always the piano.
The piano's where it starts. How does it move to the accordion? If it's going to be an accordion song, how does it tell you?
It tells me. I play on the piano, and then I maybe I was selling out, but I did some like solo shows where I didn't play or I didn't bring the accordion, and people were like disappointed. And then I would like play like one song on the accordion, and some lady came up and she's like, "Anybody can play the piano. You should play more accordion." I was like, "All right, lady, fine." So I've been trying to add and become more fluid with the accordion as like a lead instrument. I could play it backing up or in a band. That's how I did it my whole life. But to actually like just my voice and an accordion that can be a tough sell actually. It's hard to make it sound good, I think.
You think?
Yeah.
Well, we'll test it in a little bit.
Yeah, we'll test it out, yeah.
But before we do hear an accordion song, you're going to play another song from the record on piano.
Yeah, Okay Now. Which actually I haven't really played very much live. You mentioned this song. So I
requested it.
Yes, you requested it. So I practiced it last night and a little bit today. Hopefully I can get it. I can nail it. Yeah. Thanks for requesting it.
Sure. I really like it.
Mind. Thank you. Brush the crumbs of the celebration from my new black tie. I brush them off my lips with my fingertips. You know I've always been hungry. I've been hungry all my life. Not just meal to meal, but between every single bite. And the party's ending. I watch the bride, she's clearing plates. Can I try your wine for the seventh time? She laughs over her shoulder, lifts me into space. Not one inch, but in every other way. Okay now, okay now. In your canvas gown, in your crown of flowers. When the sun goes down and you're silhouetted. Okay now, now I get it. Ooh, what a lovely party. You know it doesn't have to end. I could stick around till the tent comes down. She said, I'm grateful for you, Jimmy. I'm grateful we're still friends. And when you leave, I'll be grateful that you left. Okay now, okay now.
in your mother's gown and this crown of flowers. Trading vows with the one you love. Okay, now we're on to something. I'm okay now. I'm okay now.
James Felice performing Okay Now, one of the songs on his solo debut album, The Little Ones. You recorded a video for one of the songs we're not going to hear today, but it's on the album, Teaser, The Giantess, in the Widow Jane Mine.
Yes.
Tell me about making that video, please.
That was my friend Wyndham's idea. Wyndham, who made the video, who took the photo that's on the cover of the record, which is a really cool photo.
It is.
He said, let's go to the mines and make a video. And actually, I'm embarrassed to say, even though I've lived in Rosendale and in New Paltz and Kingston, like my whole life, I never went. That was my first time I ever been.
There's always somewhere you haven't been yet.
I know.
Is that a song?
Not yet. But it will be.
I feel that way. I mean, you know, I try to really know the region, and there's always somewhere I still haven't gotten to.
I talk such a big game. And I've lived here my whole life. Right. I've never lived anywhere else. And there's still so many places I haven't been where people who, you know, just moved here from the city are telling me about, like, joints in Rosendale I've never heard of. Not the Wyndham. Wyndham's from here, but yeah. Other people.
Sure.
And it's kind of embarrassing. But there's a lot around here.
Yeah, there's
a lot of mines.
We're very bountiful
we
in
are.
Experiences.
So, yeah, we went there, and we walked in, and someone was already there playing. This guy was playing, like, he had a huge collection of, like, Native American flutes and woodwind instruments, and he was playing. It was so beautiful. Sat there for 20 minutes, let him finish his set.
Okay.
And then I played that song once, and he took a break for us. I played the song, and then we left. But that just that humongous sound is just so incredible.
It's a really, really cool looking video too. The shots and everything look incredible. It sounds great.
He did such a good job. That was just him with a camera.
Cool.
One take. Yeah, he's a talented guy. Wyndham.
Wyndham. Good person to know.
Yeah, good man to know.
You are touring in the fall with Craig Finn.
I sure am.
That's incredibly exciting.
I'm so pumped.
I love it.
Yeah, he's an awesome dude. I've known him for years, and I love his music, and I'm really grateful that he's, you know, taking a chance on little old me.
How does that happen? How do you learn about that? How do you get on that ticket? You're going all over.
I know him, like, not super well, but we've hung out at shows and stuff, and I sent him my record, and he sent me his, and, you know, I was like, you know, he said, I'm going, you know, doing these tours, and I sort of threw my hat into the ring, and he chose it.
You're getting very bold in your old age.
That's right. I am being very presumptuous.
Not at all. That is not what I meant. You have to advocate for yourself.
I'm so bad at that, it's actually pathological, but I'm trying to learn how to advocate for myself and feel worthy of other people's attention.
Oh, my goodness. James, you are.
Thank you, Sarah.
Of course.
That.
You are going to play one more song for us. You're going to get up and
get up.
Move over to the accordion. I'll narrate your passage. Well, it's up to you. What do you want to play? What do you feel like playing the most? The Golden Age or the Giantess?
Let's do the Giantess. It's on the record, right?
Okay.
Let's be smart. Let's play the song.
Not required. To be smart. All right, the Giantess then.
This is called the Giantess, and it's about having some compassion. There's a giantess in Boston. She stands about 6'2". She hears little people talking. That's what little people do. They say you're sad because you're lonely, and you're lonely 'cause you're fat. And you're fat because you're lazy, and you're lazy 'cause you're sad. Well, if she weren't so condescending, with a warm up and a stretch, she would track down her tormentors, and she would beat them all to death. Throw cowboys from their
smash limousines like tin, knock satellites from orbit, alter planetary spin. With a disappointed shrug, he says you're sad because you're lonely, and you're lonely 'cause you're fat, and you're fat because you're lazy, and you're lazy 'cause you're sad.
The Giantess, the final song we will hear this morning from James Felice's debut solo album, The Little Ones, available now via Connor Oberst Million Stars Records. James, I love you.
I love you too, Sarah. It's really sweet.
I'm not sweet, so it's just true.
Thank you.
Just so you know. Okay.
I appreciate that.
You can learn more about James Felice, keep track of his tour dates with Craig Finn, and check out the album jamesfelice.com. This segment will be posted online at WAMC.org, where you can always pledge and keep WAMC uninterrupted. We appreciate that at any time, each to their own ability, please and thank you. I want to thank our engineer at the Linda, Nate Scheid. A yeoman's work, as always. Nate is brilliant, and we appreciate his expertise so, so much. James, thank you again for coming in.
Thank you, Sarah.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.